Hi, welcome back to more Writers After Dark. Good stories start with the writers, because wherever there's a story, someone's either making it up or writing it down. And my guest today is a consummate storyteller, Amber Fallon, who's made quite the impression amongst the horror fiction fans out there. Welcome, Amber.
Thanks for having me.
Now, your most recent creation is actually an anthology you edited from Word Horde called Fright into Flight. And it's a curious but intriguing theme. So why don't you tell us all about it?
Absolutely. So I got the idea because there was a Stephen King and Bev Vincent edited anthology called Fright or Flight, which came out fairly recently. And when the TOC was announced, the Table of Contents, there was not a single female name among it.
Oh, my.
And I know. That's just not okay with me.
How do you do that in 2018? How do you do that?
No. When there are so many talented women who've written so many amazing stories on that subject. It was, at the time, frustrating and heartbreaking and infuriating, and I just was like, just a ball of emotion. And I posted about how I felt, and Ross Lockhart from Word Horde had contacted me and said that he felt the same way, and that we needed to do something to show our displeasure and, you know, show that there were women who could write stories about flight. So he gave me the opportunity to edit my first anthology, which was daunting. I mean, it's Word Horde is one of my favorite publishers, well before I even knew Ross. And this was an important thing for me to do. It was a way for me to put my money where my mouth was, so to speak, and not just sit by and idly complain, but to get out there and do something about it. So that was really important to me. And I spent so much time reading through stories and digging through things and contacting agents and contacting publicists and finding stories and reading stories and reaching out to authors. And I think what we ended up with was a fantastic collection of some just amazing stories by women. And they all have that interconnected theme of flight running through them.
Was there anything else besides the theme of flight, just, you know, flying, anything that you wanted, like, as a secondary thread? Because the story, I got like halfway through the book and I'm like, this is amazing. I have to talk about this. There's a, what I experienced was sort of a, somewhere a little bit more than mesmerizing, a little bit less than dreamlike, but there's just a feeling, a sense of just calm, but also dread in there, in some of the stories. What were you looking for?
Well, the first thing I look for when I set out to build an anthology is, I think a good anthology should be kind of like the appetizer sampler at a restaurant. It should be a little bit of everything. You know, I didn't want all quiet, slow-burning horror, but at the same time, I didn't want the pulpy, in-your-face horror and nothing else. I wanted a good mix so that pretty much anyone could pick up the book and find at least a story that they liked. So I went into it with that idea, that I wanted a bunch of diverse stories with a bunch of diverse topics, something new and interesting, because there are so many ways that you can, you know, I'm going to use a horrible metaphor here, but there are so many ways you can skin that cat. And it was really important to me to showcase as many of them as I could.
How many stories did you have to not include? Because I can imagine that your submission list would have reached daunting levels.
Well, there were a few that I wanted to include initially before we even opened to submissions. I was looking at reprints because the anthology is mostly reprints. So I was looking through those, and there were a couple that the author and I couldn't come to an agreement on. There were a few that I couldn't find agent or author information to track down. A couple emails never got responded to, and one that just didn't work out. So before we even got to the submissions, there were a couple that I really wanted to include that just for one reason or another, it just didn't happen. Then we got to the submissions, and we had a really short window of time in which to read those, and in which the submission window was also really short, so I wasn't expecting quite what we got. We got hundreds of stories. And some of them were absolutely brilliant, but I had already selected one with a similar theme, or it wasn't quite the right fit, or it just didn't feel like it belonged as part of the book, because I wanted the book to feel like a journey almost, like there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. And I had to end up rejecting a lot of really great stories from a lot of really great authors. That was the hardest part of it. You know, it's not just picking the right story. It's, is it the right story for the right reasons? And that was daunting.
Were there enough of the ones that were not selected to make you guys consider a Fright Into Flight 2?
I wouldn't be opposed to that, but I would probably not reach back into that pool. I'd probably open the floodgates again and, you know, try to get some fresh stuff.
Other than swimming through a deep pile of submission, what was the most exciting for you in putting this together?
Just being able to showcase the amount of talented women that there are out there. I mean, there are still, in this day and age, people who won't read horror by women. There's still a lot of sexism in the industry. So anytime I can sort of shine a light, well, anyone really, anytime anybody can shine a light on the, you know, brilliant and talented women who write some truly terrifying stories. I mean, you're about halfway through the book, so you've encountered some of that already.
Mm-hmm.
There's some brutality in there. There's some quiet, slow burn horror. There's a couple that might even walk the line between being horror and being sci-fi, or being horror and being thriller. So the exciting thing was I get to bring this to light. I get to, you know, shine a spotlight on all of these talented, talented women and maybe get them some new readers and some new fans, because every single contributor to that book absolutely deserves it.
As someone who is a fan of science fiction and horror in general, it completely confounds me that someone would willfully ignore all of the horror collections that Ellen Datlow has put together over the years. I'm like, really? You're just going to say nope to stuff she has selected? It's like nectar. It's like denying yourself nectar from the gods. Are you serious?
I couldn't agree more.
That just boggles me. But I, for one, am happy that this collection exists. Like I said, I've become a recent fan of Word Horde. There, the Cthulhu Fatagan collection that Ross edited a couple of years ago was delightful. And I put certain publishers on my mental list when I see collections come out by them, because it seems to be the smaller publishers are going more diverse, more eclectic, more experimental with short story collections. And I'm happy to see, you know, talented storytellers and editors like yourself taking advantage of that.
I love that the small presses can take risks. I think a lot of the big five and a lot of the bigger guys out there are really risk adverse. They want to do what they know is going to sell. While I completely understand that mentality, you know, get your return on investment and all those other corporate words, I love that there are publishers like Word Horde, like Eraserhead Press, like Deadite Press, and many, many more I could name, that are out there taking risks and doing new and exciting things and pushing the boundaries in ways that I hope will get them a return on their investment, but are definitely interests of the reader.
Yeah, I hope so too. Crystal Lake is one of those that has caught my attention lately. They've put out some really fun stuff. So what, and just to mention in Fright Into Flight, the story by Damien Angelica Walters, the documentary on the floating girls,
I saw that
in my head as a short film. I was reading it. I could see that as a short film. I'm like, someone needs to option this and make it now.
I see it as a mockumentary, and I think it would be absolutely perfect, and it could be so well done.
I can
You know, with
name,
the right.
yeah. I can name two or three different, shall we say, documentary style science fiction films that have come out the past few years that could easily be a roadmap for this one. So just throwing that out there to the universe. Universe, thank you. So what other types of collections, other types of stories would you want to plant another flag in the ground for?
Well, for the longest time, I'm talking years, I've been pitching an anthology that I wanted to do, which is sort of a different take on the end of the world. I'd actually talked to Ross about it initially. When I met him at a convention, I just asked if, you know, I first pitched it to him, and it wasn't quite what Word Horde was looking for, but, you know, he gave me some good input, and I went around and I pitched it everywhere I could. It's basically looking at the end of the world from the perspective of the person who caused the problem. And I would love to be able to edit that. So if there's any publishers listening who are interested in that kind of thing, reach out and let me know.
I will be your cheerleader for that because that was it. There was an episode of Angel where a guy was trying to preserve his relationship with his girlfriend before she broke up with him, and he was accidentally going to cause the end of the world.
Remember that. I loved Angel.
We need this collection. We need this collection. I'm also going to put that out in the universe. Yes, I'm greedy, universe. I want stories. So what else are you actually working on that we can look forward to?
Well, I have a book coming out through Deadite Press. I don't have an official release date other than to tell you it's 2019. It's called Meat Wagon. It is pulpy and gory, and it's horror mixed with sci-fi, and it was so much fun to write. So I really hope people will pick that up, and I hope they enjoy it.
Well, we can keep an eye out for that, but this I highly recommend Fright Into Flight for people. This my review of it will be coming out soonish, but it's just I didn't know that you could still put together a collection in the past couple years and just sort of say, oops, no female authors. Whoops, sorry about that. Our bad. We'll do better in 5 years. No, you can't. You have to be more aware than that.
I agree. I so agree. I mean, there are themed anthologies out there, which are great. You know, there are themed anthologies I've seen from trans men or trans women, from gay men. I've seen a couple from single fathers. Those are perfectly fine. But if you're going to have like a non-gender related anthology in this day and age, we really need to be more diverse because there are so many diverse writers out there, and we need to encourage diverse readership. Because if all of these readers who are starting out, you know, the younger generation, and they're getting used to these stories told from a typically white male perspective, that's what they're going to hold up as their ideal of a good story. And that is a travesty because they're missing out on so much and they're creating sort of a vacuum. And I really, more than anything, really want to change that.
Yeah, I mean, we've already seen how representation in entertainment, be it television, film, books, video games, that just being included, seeing someone from your own personal circumstances makes you aware that, you know, the world is big and I do have a place in it, no matter what everything else around me seems to be suggesting. And we need that. We need that so desperately.
And growing up, I mean, there were so few women horror writers that I had to look up to. So I would hope that women of future generations have something that they can say, you know what? I can do that too. She can do that. I can do that. So
Yeah.
it's more diversity is just great for everybody.
It is. And I can honestly say when I started reading horror, the only female name that I ever came across was Tanana Reeve Dhu for years. And I'm like, there's something wrong with this. And then I had been reading science fiction and fantasy forever. had no idea that Ellen Datlow also curated horror because they just weren't on the shelves. I'm like, wait, she does horror too? What? Who didn't tell me this? And
yeah.
It's so frustrating. It's like, I could have been reading cool stuff 15 years ago, and I'm just now finding out what's wrong with this picture. Don't you want my money? It's like
this weird stigma. like if you read horror, there's something wrong with you. And that's just not the case. I mean, liking horror, movies, books, properties, it's completely normal and completely fine. And it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. And I wish that weird stigma would just fade away into the background. Because, you know, lots of people read horror. And the funny thing is, I don't know how Stephen King managed to escape that stigma. People will fully admit, oh, yeah, I read Stephen King. But when you ask them if they read horror, they're like, oh, no, I don't read horror. Where did that come from?
It's like, you realize he made his first millions off of horror stories, right?
Yeah, and he encouraged, you know, I don't know how many people who now write horror to pick up the pen.
I don't get it, but I am happy. Yeah, people are just have too many blinders. But I am happy you have sprung forth from the head of Zeus to give us more horror from different avenues that we can explore. And
I'm really glad.
I'm looking forward to other stuff that you've written, because stuff you've written in the past was like, I want to write like this.
Thank you.
But tell us where people can find you online and follow, I guess, your future tweet storm inspiration.
The best place to find me is amberfallon.net. That's the most up-to-date information. You can subscribe to my newsletter. There's a bunch of links on there, so I highly recommend checking that out.
Cool. And is anything else that you've done, either edited or written, that's currently out that people should check out?
The most two recent anthologies that I have stories in, there's Doorbells at Dusk from Corpus Press. That is great. It's a little late for Halloween. The story is all, the book rather, is all themed around Halloween stories. But that was super fun to write that story, and I really enjoyed it. And everything else in there is absolutely amazing. And there's also Quoth the Raven, which is an anthology of stories inspired by Edgar Allan Poe.
Nice.
And I have a poem in there. It's the first poem I ever sold. So that was exciting, because I don't usually write poetry, but I love Edgar Allan Poe so much, and my favorite poem is The Bells. So I saw the opportunity to modernize it and sort of bring it into the modern age, and I jumped at it. So check those out.
Awesome. I'll definitely put links to that in there. Well, Amber, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Summer. I really enjoyed it.
And again, I love talking to authors who appreciate the different nuances that horror brings us. Because there's more to horror than just slashers and visceral gore. I mean, sure, gore is sometimes part of the equation, but it's not the only part. It's not the most important part. At least it's not for me. And smart horror, quiet horror, cosmic horror, horror mysteries, detective stories with horror, those appeal to me first. And since we're in the season, holiday horror, not just Halloween, there's Thanksgiving horror, there's Christmas horror, winter holiday horror. I believe Shudder has a Thanksgiving horror series of specials and movies featuring Joe Bob Briggs. So that'll be something to watch for Thanksgiving. So check that out if you can. The other thing I'd like to mention is that we do have contests going on over at Slice of Sci-Fi. Just to keep things interesting, some of those prizes will cross with Writers After Dark as well. The place to enter the contests is at Slice of Sci-Fi. If you go to the contact page and fill out all the contact information that's required and check the box that says, have another question. Then in the message box, somewhere in that message box, you can type in, like, you know, your mailing address or something for stuff I need to send you if you're selected as a winner. But as long as you include in that message box the phrase, Mimsy, Where the Borogoves, a secret selection panel will pop up. Now, through December 1st, well, midnight December 1st, which is the Friday night, November 30th, I will be selecting a winner of those particular prizes. We have copies of Beyond the Sky, the UFO documentary, mockumentary film that's actually pretty good. And there's a copy of Larry Nemechek's Star Trek Stellar Cartography, which we talked about over on Slice of Sci-Fi, and two codes through Vudu for the remastered Rosemary's Baby. But if you include Mimsy, Where the Borogoves in the message box, that will come up and you'll be able to select which prize you're entering for. And on Saturday, December 1st, I will pick winners. So if you're interested, go check that out. That'll probably be a method for future giveaways. If you have any questions or comments about the contests or anything else we're doing here, please feel free to call in. The number is 602-635-6976. Or you can send me an email, summer@writersafterdark.com. You can listen to Writers After Dark through iTunes, through Stitcher, and through Google Play. And you can also leave us a review on iTunes and Stitcher. You can follow us on Twitter at Write After Dark. And there will be a author, writer, comics related channel on YouTube eventually, as soon as I get to arranging everything. But if you search for Slice of Sci-Fi on YouTube, you'll find our platform there. And as always, there's the website, writersafterdark.com. You can come and listen to other interviews I've done with other authors and comics creators, and hopefully get some playwrights in there pretty soon. You can also weigh in on the various book and audiobook reviews that have been done. Give your own rating for those. If you're thinking that we should maybe have nudged our rating up a little bit or down a little bit, so you can weigh in on that. I'd like to also thank everyone for your pledges through Patreon that are keeping things going around here. If you go to patreon.com/sliceofsci-fi, you can also add your support to Writers After Dark, Slice of Sci-Fi, Babylon Podcast. And there are tiers, new tiers of support, new tiers with perks for supporting everything we're doing here. The $2 and $5 level, I believe, are getting advanced reader copies or mass market paperbacks. The $10 level is getting finished trade paperbacks and hardcovers, and the $20 level is eligible for Blu-rays, DVDs, 4K, Ultra discs. You can read more about that again over at patreon.com/sliceofsci-fi. We've selected our $5 winner for November. So you still have a chance to join in and be eligible for December's prize. I'd like to also throw a shout out to Shay Dawn and Simon Quest for the theme music we're using here on the show. And if you want to find out more music that they've done, the links are on the website, writersafterdark.com. But that will do it for this episode. See you next time, and remember, keep looking for your own stories.